Welcome to Philanthropy Today. Our goal is to inspire giving by educating listeners on ways to give and how to connect with charitable causes. My name is Dave Lewis. I'm your host of Philanthropy Today. Thank you for joining the show.
On Philanthropy Today, we continue with our series of interviews with past chairs and presidents of the board of directors of the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation. And we've got an individual that's been rather iconic in the community from a lot of different perspectives over the years, and the family tradition and recognition and everything that they've been involved in the community with Jackie Hartman Bork. What a great opportunity to learn more.
Yeah, it's been great to have Jackie on our board. She's been a trustee since 2014, I believe, and so she just completed a year of chair, and this now stands as past chair on our board. And so she has been at a time with the community foundation that we've had lots of growth. I think we ended up her year at over 200 million. So that was a threshold.
Over 200 million. Not going to say how much over 200 million, but we got over the 200 mark. That's great.
So Jackie, it's been great to have your leadership with the Community Foundation, and be fun to reflect on your year.
Thank you, Fern. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Dave. GMCF's always great to talk about. We can talk about all kinds of things. I feel like I can do that all over town. People are always so excited to hear about the Community Foundation, and it's always fun to tell them little tidbits that they don't know.
So how did you first get involved with the GMCF?
Well, I'm going to go back to when I first met Vern. I met Vern on a trip that we took to Minneapolis, and it was to
St. John's Bible.
We were on a trip to find out more about the St. John's Bible. Went to where it was made, and we went to visit with the donors of the St. John's Bible, which came to Manhattan as a gift. It wasn't just a K-State at the time. Vern was on that trip. There were several of us. Mitzi Richards from the foundation was on the trip. She wasn't with the Community Foundation at the time, but we had a great time, and that's when I got to learn all there was to learn about Vern, I thought. And then shortly thereafter, he came to the Community Foundation. I became a trustee. I think it was 2016 when I became a trustee, and then was asked to serve on the board in 2018 and was able to chair the board last year, which was the 22-23 year.
Mm-hmm. What did it mean to you to become chair of the board?
That's hard to describe because you never see yourself as being able to contribute to a foundation that means so much to a community, especially a community that you love. Like, everybody loves Manhattan. I too love Manhattan. Was raised here, left for a time, came back, but this is kind of the pinnacle. If you serve this board, you're serving the community and region. There's not much better.
That was the beauty of having Jackie serve on the board, because she was a Manhattanite. Having grown up here, she understands the growth of the community and the players in the community. And certainly, you know, we're kind of a threefold element between the Kansas State and the Christian College and the foundation. And so being able to have some information about all entities and history in all places, it's been great that way. And so her leadership has brought others' attention to the Community Foundation, and just that association has been good all the way around.
With your work at Kansas State University at the time, you were working in the president's office. What dynamics were involved in being involved with the foundation and working in administration at K-State?
Well, like Vern mentioned, it's really hard to separate one entity from another in this community. I'm preaching to the choir here, but with our military friends and partners, K-State friends and partners, MCC community, and then you think about the surrounding towns, we're really one, which makes up Manhappiness that we all love. I think I really enjoy Manhattan so much because everybody's part of the family. I've lived in other towns where great places to live. People enjoy living there. They're proud to be there, but they don't have the pride that we have in Manhattan. And I think the university has done a great job of communicating to its constituents that we're all part of a family. But I think that comes from the community. You don't have to be a K-State grad to be a Wildcat in this town. Everybody's a Wildcat. And I think we take pride in that feeling. And so that's what it's all about. That's what we live to promote, continue, grow.
I believe you were retired from K-State when you took on the role as chair.
I was retired. I served as chief of staff at Kansas State for my second term of employment. I taught years ago in the College of Business and then came back in 2010 to serve as the chief of staff for Kirk Schultz and then also for first the interim and then the first couple of years of General Myers' tenure as president.
Well, that was quite an exercise in leadership too, wasn't it? And vision.
It was very much so. It was all very enjoyable. And so it was nice to be able to be on that leadership team at K-State and then to come here and serve the leadership team. And you mentioned what it was like to do that. I think it's a very nice fit. You need the leadership of the city, of the county, of the community foundation of the university to come together, because at the end of the day, everybody's trying to grow the area and we all prosper.
Let's talk a little bit about your tenure as chair of the GMCF Board of Directors. You just come off the pandemic and we had plenty of challenges then. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the events during your year as chair that stand out to you that you would probably be most proud of?
Well, the Grow Green Days always stand out. And you can't say Grow Green without thanking Phil Howe for providing that match that enables all of the folks that we help their growth during this time. And so when COVID was such a downer for everybody, what the foundation did to help people, help those that worked at the grocery stores, help those that worked in retail, help the local restaurants. I mean, that's extremely meaningful. I think back, that wasn't during my leadership year, but I think back to the recovery from the flood. And this was Wildcat Creek flood, not Tuttle Creek. And just what we did to help those people that needed to find temporary places to live. Vern and Elaine were just quick to help those folks. So we had the flood and then COVID that we were trying to come back from. And as any organization, we all learned more about working remotely and having meetings online. And so we've grown from that. We have a lot of great people that serve on the board, and there are times when we need to have people remote at our meetings. So, you know, you just have to look at the positive side of that.
What was it like running those meetings when you had that mixed involvement of people on Zoom and some in person?
It's hard to think back to it being new because it's so commonplace these days. But yeah, it took us a while, but we got the equipment going. The Community Foundation moves fast. Vern's at the top of everything that we need to be to make things work. So I think we realized that we could do it too, just like everybody else was, and it's helped us. People enjoy serving on this board, so people want to be here when they can be. It's only when they have to be out of town that, or they're ill, that they go online to join us. But it's really a fun board, so we're here in town.
Well, and that's the beauty of the board. I mean, obviously, if you're going to have people on your board that are influential and have history and knowledge, they're going to be doing other things other than just the Community Foundation. So you embrace that, and hopefully you can capture their time as much as possible and get their thoughts. But you know that there's going to be inconveniences or conflicts, and we just have to live through them and kind of go from there. But, you know, that's where having leaders like Jackie on the board, great communicator in that process, and so making sure that everybody knows what's going on. So when decisions do come to the table, you know, we're making good, well-thought-out decisions.
We had talked earlier about that $200 million figure. Well, let's talk a bit about numbers, because, you know, there has been a lot that's transpired with the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation in the year since you served to today. And I think the number 200 million was what we had talked about.
Right. That was a year that the assets ended a little over 200 million. And we had a grant disbursement that I think is still our highest at 26 million at that point in time.
So. Wow.
And we also grew affiliates. And that was kind of a charge for myself when I chaired 2 years ago, was to make sure that more people knew about the Community Foundation. I mean, when we talk amongst ourselves, of course, it's our everyday life, but there's still people out there that don't know. Grow Green helps that.
Right.
These podcasts, Philanthropy Today, the radio show, all those things are great vehicles to get our message out. But there's still a lot of people that need to know, because if people knew what we were doing, they'd want to be a part of it. You can't know about mm-hmm. this and not want to be a part of it. So we have to keep pushing to make sure that everybody that wants to be involved is involved. And like I said, if you know about it, you want to be involved.
You know, the means of communication have changed drastically since you came on as President, Byrne. You think about all the things that we pivoted to during the pandemic with Zoom and so many other aspects, you know, means of communication with social media. You mentioned the podcasts, the radio show. All of these things go into the mix. And you've had quite a bit of experience working in communications over the years. And it's one of these things that just seems to continue to transcend and do something different.
Websites.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of those.
Our website
is
unbelievable. There's so much information that's out there. I mean, if you're wanting to apply for a grant or you're wanting to know what kind of funds we have, always Grow Green Time, Grow Green Day Time. Mm-hmm. I'm going back out to the website to see all the different funds that I want to give to. And it's really hard to say I'm not going to give to this one because I'm going to give to that one, because mm-hmm. they're all so worthwhile. Website, and then that makes me think I'm probably jumping ahead of you, but the events, the CFAs, that's a great Manhattan event. I mean, you can't beat that, obviously. You guys know what goes into it. You coordinate that. But it's just, that's a pride point. That's a true pride point for this community to go to that event and see all of the people who rely on the Community Foundation and who are impacted daily. Mm. By this foundation and the giving of the general public.
Right.
I mean, it's overwhelming. I leave that event every year with such a warm heart that people are good. We have good people in town, and that Byrne and the staff have done such a great job of connecting the people that have the resources with the people that need the resources. And that sounds very easy. It's a lot of coordination.
So one thing I don't want to overlook here, but Jackie's talent and interest in art was a major part of her time on the board. And even today, each of our trustees that are serve on the board, they have a committee they chair. And Lincoln and Dorothy Deal Gift created a nice endowment for the art. And Jackie was good enough to be the chair of that when we first pulled a group of community members together, trustees together, to strategically utilize those funds for art placement in the community. And so that has been an evolving process. And we've had murals, we've had sculptures, we've had events and stuff. Jackie, it's been great to have you in that role.
Well, I have to first say I know nothing about art. I am not an artist, but I know the importance of art
right.
to a community. It provides a sense of belonging. It's helpful to the artist so that they can showcase their talents. But we're always trying to figure out how can we enhance Manhattan so people enjoy their time here. They want to be here, don't want to leave here. We always hear about the university students that want to stay in Manhattan if they could get a job. And art is one way to connect the community to the citizens. So I've really enjoyed, learned a lot. And thanks to Lincoln and Dorothy Deal, who the resources that they left the Community Foundation, part of those go to the arts, part goes to humanities. And so we've been able to create a public committee for the arts and humanities, and then issue grants for artists and those interested in the humanities.
You know, we talk about addressing needs. We continue to do that. There's all kinds of things that the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation has a hand in, getting people with means to help the people that don't have those means. Let's take a look down the road a little bit. You've seen the Community Foundation prosper over the last 25 years with assets in the $350 million range, which that's quite a bit more than the meager little $200 million figure just a couple of years ago.
In a short period of time.
Exactly. So what do you foresee as some of the opportunities and some of the challenges that you would like to see addressed?
Well, there's a term that we're using that will probably be outdated when somebody listens to this 5 or 10 years down the road, but strategic initiatives. And Vern and staff, the board members, the trustees are great at identifying strategic initiatives. I think with our effort to do that, hopefully, we will decrease the need that comes up, the immediate need. Now, there's always going to be incidents and emergencies, but I think if we can be a little bit more proactive in planning and growing Manhattan responsibly, then that immediate need is part of the planning. And we're constantly finding ways to help the average citizens and, like you said, those without the resources that we want to be able to live comfortably here in Manhattan.
You know, you think about all the different things, you know, just within the last couple of years, warming shelters, community chest. And of course, you talked about the Wildcat Creek flood, MHK together. There seems to be, Vern, things in place to respond quickly when needed.
Well, we've got a good set of funds that support those kinds of causes, and we've got donors that respond to those causes when they come up. And as Jackie mentioned, when we reached that $200 million threshold, it put us in a different thought process. And so as we evolve as a foundation, we're growing in our thoughts on the Strategic Initiatives Committee. And so discussions during your year came about with the Manhattan Park and Rec Foundation. Some of the needs for youth in order to participate in the summertime was a big issue. How do we help the community there? Affordable housing, that's an ongoing discussion, whether it's appropriate housing or the childcare issues that kind of came up. And so all of these things have kind of been on the board, even to the extent of some economic development. And so the board's had those tough discussions about where does the Community Foundation play in these roles? I mean, we're here, we're a part of the community. Is that our role? Is it not our role? And here again, I go back to Jackie's roots in this community and her involvement and leadership. Having all of that at the table when we're having these discussions is very important to, with her and her board members, and that's been terrific.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, you've had quite a time to have helped lead the Community Foundation, and I see a sense of pride in what you've done.
I'm very prideful in what Manhattan has done, what Vern and the Community Foundation. I mean, you just look at other towns. They don't have this. They have foundations, but not like this foundation. I mean, there's no stopping what we will do as a community. And I think that's just Manhattan. When I lived elsewhere, Colorado, people would always say to me, why do you want to go home so much? Why do you go home? And I looked at them, why don't you? Well, they didn't come from places like Manhattan. We draw people in, we keep them. If they leave, they want to come back. And the Community Foundation is just bolstering that by providing a great place for all.
There's a guy that said this, and I can't remember his name, said, I came here for the people and I stayed here for the people. And there's a lot of truth in that.
Oh, there's so much truth in that. And I think all walks of life, you would hear that. So Coach Snyder.
Yes.
Said that. And I think if you talk to the people that do come and leave, they all would agree that their time in the land of purple, the land of green for GMCF, mm-hmm. were great times. And I know the people that are at the military that have several assignments, but they want to come back to Manhattan because they so enjoyed their time at Fort Riley. And so it's contagious. It's really contagious, and that's great. You know, what we have at K-State's wonderful. What we have Fort Riley's wonderful. What we have in Manhattan and GMCF, you know, it's just out there.
Well, Jackie, we appreciate your term as board chair. This will be your last year at this point, but we appreciate your leadership, your involvement, your influence, affluence that have been engaged in bringing people to know more about the Community Foundation. And so we thank you for your year as chair, and we look forward to many, many more years association as we move forward.
So I'm forever thankful for being able to serve. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for Philanthropy Today, an inside look at the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation. You can always learn more about the GMCF at our website, mcfks.org. We also invite you to subscribe to Philanthropy Today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dave Lewis. I'm proud to host Philanthropy Today. It's hosted and produced in the Ad Astra Cast Studios in downtown Manhattan, Kansas.